Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Pin Gillette.
This is Pen Gillette, and as you can tell by the music, it's Monkey Tuesday!
At long last.
Yes, as you heard that music, that was the mighty, mighty, mighty Mike Jones and the big Mike Jones Orchestra, which in this case consists entirely of Mike Jones. And once again, I want to say that it is the it is our Mike Jones. It's not the Mike Jones who's the rapper. This is the Mike Jones that that plays music for the Pen Gillette Show. And this is Pen Gillette on the Pen Gillette Show. And I'm sitting here with Michael Goudeau, and it is Monkey Tuesday! Monkey Tuesday. Yes, it is. And Mike Jones, I asked him for theme music for the Monkey Show. And Mike Jones, he's playing two guitar parts, bass, and, of course, piano. And he composed it in Vibraslap. Then he goes, ah! A beautiful theme for a beautiful day. We have had, it's a big Monkey Tuesday. And we're going to have, yeah, thank you, Monkey Tuesday. Here's a letter.
I warned you.
I've told Patrick that he should play the theme music every single time I say Monkey Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's working very well so far. Very well so far.
Very well, okay.
We had such an incredible response to the last one that we did. You know, people wrote in. Here's one of the letters we got from Marissa, who said, Mr. Gillette and Goudeau. She spells Gillette wrong, so it has the same first letter as Goudeau. So it's kind of an odd kind of thing, because it doesn't sound, you know, it can't be called alliteration because it doesn't sound right. It's a kind of a graphalation or something, because it looks the same, Mr. Gillette and Goudeau, or Gillette and Judeau. If there is not another Monkey Tuesday, I will take the time to fly to Las Vegas and kick you. If you want another monkey story, reply. If not, then it's fine. That's Marissa insisting that there be another
Send
one of these.
Send us another monkey story, Marissa.
We want to have them all. Vatican City. This is a an article sent in from Point Blank, Texas, from a guy named Aaron, or maybe a woman named Aaron, I don't know. Vatican City. Today, Pope Benedict XVI announced a new edition of the Catholic Holy Week of Easter. The new pontiff has declared that the Tuesday immediately preceding Ash Wednesday as Monkey Tuesday. A press statement issued by the Vatican called the move a lighthearted attempt to make that whole Easter holiday more fun. The statement also is quoted, there's already a rabbit. What's a monkey going to hurt? Makers of Monica Beats are supportive of the measure. We want to start.
I think it's important to mention that I believe almost everything else we say on Monkey Tuesday will be true.
I know, that's not
These true. Are actual accounts.
These are actual accounts.
Monkey accounts.
Of interactions. You know what I really like about this being the Pen Gillette Show more than anything else in the world? I love that you said the name and you didn't get the music played. I think that Patrick only reacts to the actual host of the show, not the sidekick. Try saying it
it's
again.
It's Monkey Tuesday. Come on, Patrick.
You know what? You know what? You know what, Michael Goudeau? You're right, Michael Goudeau. It is Monkey Tuesday.
You are just rubbing it in and dancing like that gopher on Caddyshack.
It's the greatest.
That's why we need
world.
The video feed, so people can see you dance like that gopher on Caddyshack.
We're going to have the video feed soon. I do dance a lot during the show. People don't know it. But especially when the music is that good. Once again, this is Mike Jones. You can go to penradio.com, PENNRADIO.com. And I'm sure that by now, Dustin will have the music up. So if you want to hear the Monkey Tuesday theme, you can just have that all set. Because, you know, I'm thinking that maybe for your boot-up sound on your computer, or maybe for your error message, that'd be a really nice thing. So we're going to give
That's
that out.
That's going to be my new phone ring.
That'll be free. Take that. Go, please. Go have fun. We're going to start this Monkey Tuesday on a rather sad note. We have some very funny stories coming up, but I want to start with a sad note. Police hunt Leone killer chimps. Police in Leone.
Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone, yeah. He's the
That's
director
why I'm here.
Of the Spaghetti Western, right?
Yeah.
Police in Sierra Leone are on the hunt for a group of chimpanzees who escaped from their wild life sanctuary after a fatal attack on construction workers. Armed reinforcements are combing the area after a Sierra Leonean died and two Americans were seriously injured. This is the BBC News. This is BBC. isn't something made up by a nut. Security personnel said four men were attacked on Sunday after entering Takugama chimpanzee sanctuary. Angry chimps! Now, if there is not a band named Angry Chimps, there sure should be. Listen, if you're listening to the show and you're putting together a band and you want a band name, here it is on a platter. Here's a one way. Where are we going, Johnny? We're going to the toppermost or the poppermost. If a band called the Beatles can make it big, imagine how big Angry Chimps could be. So please, Angry Chimps somewhere. Angry Chimps killed and mutilated the driver. The two Americans are in the hospital in the capital, Freetown. A worker at Takugama told the BBC that some 24 chimpanzees had escaped and six had already returned. Armed police arrived at the attack and fired shots, which caused panic among local people. Tourism Minister Okere Adams visited the scene and said the police are combing the area to bring the chimps back to the sanctuary. We are combing the area and beyond to bring the chimpanzees back, but will not harm them, a police officer told AFP news agency. The sanctuary was set up a decade ago to give shelter to orphaned and abandoned chimpanzees. Across West Africa.
Well, you know what the problem is? They don't have parents.
Yeah.
It's a social thing.
They need to be taken care of. Killer chimps, they killed the guy.
They killed the guy.
So this is the point. When this whole thing started, Monkey Tuesday, what started was the discussion of the monkey and the dwarf.
Yeah.
One of my favorite stories that I told here on the Free FM, because that's what freedom of speech exists for. You can tell monkey stories whenever you want to, whoever you want. And I was talking about how dangerous they are, you know. And one of the things that makes monkeys so damn funny is how dangerous they are. Because nothing can be really, really funny unless it can kill you. I mean, that's where a lot of comedy comes from, is there has to be a little bit of terror underneath it. No dwarf, but my story involves a gorilla and injury. This is going to be the long, major story on Monkey Tuesday. Thank you. And it does. It's a good long story, which I haven't read all of it yet. So I'll be kind of discovering it as you discover it. Like Larry King, be ignorant and call it part of your job. No dwarf, but my story involves a gorilla and injury. What I love now is Chris, who's listening, goes, "Oh, they're going to read my story." It involves gorilla, nor does it trump that guy's drive-through zoo story. It played out in my head like a deleted scene from A Christmas Story, right down to Darren McGavin asking what happened to him, with full optimism that Monkey Tuesday will return. I'll share. Around 92, 93, I had a house guest, a member of the Arrogant Worms, a Canadian band, which would be much better if they were called the Angry Chimps.
Yeah.
Much better name. But the Arrogant Worms is fine. They were in a town to perform a number of shows, and he was crashing at my place. Man, he was crashing at his place. Okay. A friend of theirs in town worked at the Calgary Zoo and invited us all on a tour. This was pretty awesome. The zoo was closed for the day, so we had the place mostly to ourselves. Yes, except for all those pesky animals. Other than that, we got to go behind the scenes, pet a giraffe, feed a hippo, that sort of thing. I once got shown around the National Zoo, and I got to be to see a small Komodo dragon. You know, the ones that have the smelly tongues they carry so much bacteria that they infect you to death.
Yep.
And I had them lick my ring. The Komodo little Komodo dragon licked my ring, and boy, did I wash my hands well after that. So we're leaving the monkey house. They call it specifically the primate house, but we'll call it the monkey house. You can never say monkey enough, right?
Here's a man who understands comedy.
He really understands comedy, and he understands Monkey Tuesday. And there's a big, thick plexiglass window looking into the gorilla compound. It's one of those things where you can wander right up to it. The gorillas can come right up to it. You can share a moment, etc. We were there for maybe 2 minutes, and the big male in the compound charges the window, thumping on it, making a big show. Our host talks a bit about how they'll do that to any group with men and women. The big ape wants to show off to the women, looking for new group. You're looking for new group members. Actually, it's troop, I think. I said the word pod, and pod is for whales, but troop is for monkeys. or telling you to take a hike or whatever. You know, the big silverbacks, when they do that whole display thing? I've been to the zoo when they do that, and it's terrifying. Big, you know, 300-pound gorilla running at you. It's a hell of a show.
What do you weigh?
What's that?
What do you weigh?
I weigh about 290.
Okay, yeah. You might be able to take him.
Yeah, maybe. No, I wouldn't be able to take him. He would kill me instantly. Did you read about the killer? Would you read about the killer monkey? Where were you during that? These are dangerous things.
I'm just trying to get my own show.
So that you could say Monkey Tuesday?
I could say Monkey Tuesday, and then they would play the music, but it doesn't happen.
See, they played the music for me, not for you. It was a hell of a show. You guys mentioned the kind of strength chimps have. Imagine what a gorilla can do. And here's this guy slamming against the glass. So while that's fun the first couple of times, it made a lot of the group nervous. So our host leads us up these stairs to the main part of the compound where the zoo guests can look out over it. We're getting some more cool info on gorillas. In the background, the boss monkey is charging around, still putting on the dominant male show. This involves charging back and forth, grabbing handfuls of grass and twigs and tossing them in our direction. This isn't a big deal. Grass and twigs don't go far. I can't remember a goddamn thing our host said, as what came next pretty much became the key memory of the day. First, a small note on botany in Calgary. That's why we have the greatest listeners in the world. The guy knows he has got a Trump monkey story. He stops to talk about botany. Calgary, like a lot of Canada, has a lot of evergreen trees which produce pine cones. When pine cones are just formed, they are these dense, pointy bastards, maybe the size of a film canister, that they can really pack together. There aren't any trees in the compound for obvious reasons, but there are some near the compound, and some small children and stupid adults can always be counted on to throw things at a caged animal. So let's just say somehow there's a supply of pine cones in their pen. I have an overwhelming urge to throw things at animals. There was once a squirrel. I was up in Vancouver, and I was at a Starbucks outside, and there was a squirrel up on the branch, probably about 15 feet up. And I so wanted to just hit that squirrel with my cell phone. So I sat at that Starbucks for about 2 hours with people watching. And I was trying to just toss the cell phone up so it would just tap the squirrel and then fall back down into my hands. So I had a cell phone and just toss it up, and it was amazing. The squirrel knew so much more about the trajectory of things. This was probably a squirrel juggler. This was a Jason Garfield squirrel. And the squirrel would just watch the cell phone arc up. And, I mean, it would just about brush his back, and he wouldn't even flinch. It would drop down on the ground. Try to catch it, throw it back up again. So about 2 hours I was throwing the throwing the thing up and over. What did he say?
I couldn't read a word of it.
Okay, so I loved it. And then my friend Wheeler, Wheeler and the Britney Spears story. He was the one that went with me. He's the geologist who wanted me to see Britney Spears when we got thrown out for being fake child molesters. We're not child molesters, but we played them in the Britney Spears concert. And he has a cat, and he and his wife love this cat. And I was over their house. They were showing me their tomato garden out back. We're having a good time. And I saw their cat. And I had just finished a bottle of seltzer, a one-liter bottle. And I just threw the liter bottle at the cat. It was almost uncontrollable. Just threw it at the cat. And I didn't hit the cat. I mean, I did hit the cat. But, I mean, it didn't hit him directly. It hit right in front of him.
Grazed the cat.
And the cat ran away. And I had to write this long letter to his wife apologizing for throwing. And I was heartbroken. But when he says stupid adults that throw things at animals, I love to throw things.
Talking about you, isn't
it? And when I grew up, you know, my mom always threw things at me. Always. My mom would always hit me in the head with a dinner roll, or whenever she had anything in her hand, like a piece of Kleenex or a napkin or a roll or anything, she would toss it over. Like I would watch
a chunk
TV,
of lead.
Bang! I'd get hit in the head by my mom throwing something. She loved to throw food at me, and I think that gets past. It's probably a genetic thing. Moxie will probably love to throw things at animals and other people. We're back to the Calgary Zoo with the pine cones. Boss Monkey is going into his third big charge in mid-run, reaches down to scoop up a handful of grass and flings it. In a perfect two-count, a pine cone he's grabbed arcs from his paw to my forehead. I'm watching our host listening to politely, so 2 seconds there is just enough time for peripheral vision to go, incoming, and my brain to go, what? Before I can take a pine cone to the temple. I've been hit by Puck's baseballs, dodgeballs, a kid brother, a cafeteria tray, and they all hurt. And they're all bigger than a pine cone. But they have A, bounce, and B, they aren't being hurtled by a gorilla. I can only liken it to being hit by a pointy golf ball. Oh, how cool is that? How great is that to be hit in the head by a gorilla with a pointy pine cone, pointy golf ball. Blood, get ready for this. Blood was drawn. How great is that? Blood was drawn by a monkey. I was stunned for a while. The group got a good laugh, because if it bends, it's funny. If it breaks, it's funnier, I guess. Doesn't Trump's Penn story or the other guys, but it's my monkey story. Keep up the excellent show, guys. Chris on Monkey Tuesday. Monkey Tuesday. That's what it is here on the Big Penn Jillette Show. Sitting with Michael Goodall. We're talking monkeys all day today. That's what we do on Monkey Tuesday.
Oh, you got him.
I said, let's make sure this cue is right. That's what we do on Monkey Tuesday. Beautiful. Okay. As long as we got that, we're trying to get it really tight. Now, we got a lot of information on tea monkeys that came sent into us, because I talked a lot about the tea monkeys. But we brought up, you know, because you can never tell where we're going to go on a day like this. As long as it's about monkeys, we're all about monkeys today. And we said that Elvis had a pet chimp. The pet chimp's name, we found this on the internet. We have no special skills. We found this on the internet. It says, this is great, this is on one of these Elvis pages. Most fans are familiar with Elvis's pet chimp, Scatter. His name is Scatter. But before Scatter, Elvis owned a spider monkey named Jehu. What do you recall about Jehu? And then this guy's answering. This is one of the Memphis Mafia.
Lamar Fike.
Yeah, Lamar Fike. Which one of the Memphis? He's just one of the Memphis Mafia, right?
Yeah.
Lamar Fike. That he was always hanging from something. I'm not sure whatever happened to Jehu, but he was later replaced by Scatter, who was a real rascal. Some rascal. I like having a rascally monkey. I think there's a level of crazy that you hit and you have a monkey. That just like automatically, like Michael Jackson has a monkey. What, Bubbles?
Yeah,
Bunkle. You just get that crazy. Elvis got that crazy. He had Scatter. First, he had Jehu, who just disappeared. No idea what happened to him. Then I think Siegfried and Roy definitely had a monkey, right?
I would assume
they must have had a monkey. Who else is on their way to monkey them? Probably Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, of course. You know, he has a kid, so maybe that'll screw it up. But I would say he's on his way to monkey them. There should be, you know, how they have that death pool on the web where people try to guess who's going to die next. They should try to guess who's going to be crazy enough to get a monkey next. Because, I mean, who's on their way? Prince. Prince should have a monkey, shouldn't he?
He might.
A monkey that's, like, dyed, you know.
Purple.
Purple. Yeah. Purple rain monkey. Okay, so the interviewer on the Elvis InfoNet asks, what's his name, Lamar?
Lamar Fike.
Lamar Fike. What are some of the funniest moments that happened around Elvis? That's a hard question to answer because we had some funny times. The fun times outweigh the sad. Looking back, just about every situation had its funny moments. We lived life to its fullest. See, that's it. You live when you live life to your fullest, you've got to have a monkey.
It's not beer. No. It's not a beer ad. It's a monkey.
It's a monkey. We lived life to its fullest, and the fun flowed from this. We had lots of funny times with Scatter the chimpanzee. He'd get pissed and do all sorts of crazy things. I don't know what pissed means here. I think it might mean, does it mean drunk? Probably.
Probably means drunk.
But is that a southern term? I thought it was only English. Anyway, the monkey is either angry or drunk, but it doesn't matter because the monkey is doing crazy things. And that's part of living life to its fullest. Now here's the important part. When you're crazy and you have the Memphis Mafia around you, I guess you could say we encouraged him, particularly if it involved him doing things around girls. Now, when I talked about the chimp we had here, Tarzan, they would really do things around girls. I mean, there's so little genetic difference between humans and chimpanzees that they really know the difference in the sexes. There is no doubt that they know instantly between male and female, and they treat them differently. With males, it's either some sort of confrontation, or they want to be they're dominated, you know, as part of their troop. But the girls, and this is really a very important thing if you have a chimp. If you have a chimp around, make sure you have lots of attractive women, because the chimp will reach up their skirts and reach up their blouses and grab them all over. And I'll tell you, it's really, really funny, and it's a little sexy. Really, really sexy and a little funny, it's not very good. Not very good. Really sexy, you don't need a little funny. But when you've got really, really funny and you put in a little sexy, it's pretty terrific. Like if you get a running all over the place, just grabbing at everything, and then he pulls a woman's top down, and you get to see her breasts, so you've got funny monkey and then the sexiness of the woman's bare breasts. That's a great day. It's a great day. Now, you also remember that underneath that whole thing, we're talking about a really important kind of little souffle of entertainment, living life to its fullest. You've got, you know, how they have in perfumes, they have the top note, which is the first thing that hits, and then, you know, that fades away. So your top note may actually be a little unpleasant. You know, they use, like, cat sweat and stuff to make perfume. They do! Cat sweat to make perfume. Don't look at me like that. They torture cats to make perfume. You look up cat sweat perfume.
I'm going to look up cat sweat perfume.
During the next break, you will. They use disgusting smells, musky smells, to make perfume. Because perfume makers know that the nose wants to get a real complicated thing. So when you have a monkey attacking a woman, you have funny that comes out of the, and then you have sexiness, and then you have this unpleasantness that the monkey could kill you all. That's the top note. The top note of the monkey perfume is that it could kill you. So funny, little bit of sexy, it could kill us. Funny, little bit of sexy, it could kill us. That's what makes it so beautiful. And that's one of the reasons. It's all those things. That's one of the reasons we love Monkey Tuesday. Now, while Godot continues to look up cat sweat.
I got it.
You do?
Yeah.
Tell me about perfume.
It's from a civet.
Civet! Yeah. What is a civet?
It's related to a mongoose. It's not actually a cat. So there, smart guy.
Pretty close.
The sweaty excretions aren't sweat. They come from the
pineal
glands.
Well, musk gland is what we call it.
Near next to the civets, you know, butt.
it's a butt musk gland.
Yeah, it's a butt musk gland from a cat.
And do they torture them to get it out?
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay.
It says I don't find any evidence that you get civet out of civets by whipping them, but the process is probably none too pleasant, according to the World Society for the Protection of Animals, which has investigated civet harvesting in Ethiopia.
And what perfumes do you have that civet smell in?
Chanel No. 5.
Chanel No. 5! The top note is civet?
Civet.
Right near the butt, in the butt of a civet, there is a musk gland that gives you the underlying top note of funk that makes Chanel No. 5 so sexy.
Apparently they switched out for synthetic civet in 1998.
Are there any perfumes that actually use the real civet? See, this is the thing. You know, technology is destroying. Why aren't the hippies fighting to have perfume have the real civet musk in it?
Synthetic.
You know, there's a synthetic civet musk. I bet if I were a real broadcaster, that would be one of the tests that they'd give you. You went to Emerson.
Before you got the job.
Went to Emerson College, they would say synthetic civet musk. Synthetic civet musk. And they'll say, well, when will I have to say that? And the teacher would say, you'll have to say that on Monkey Tuesday. So we're back to Elvis. And we have a pissed chimpanzee who does crazy things and a bunch of hillbillies running around. You know, once I called Lance Burton, I said about Lance Burton in a Playboy interview, a Playboy article, I guess, that I wrote about Vegas. I wrote that Lance Burton was a retarded hillbilly. I used that phrase, Lance Burton retarded, because he's from Kentucky, you know, Lexington, Kentucky. And I wrote that he was a retarded hillbilly. And Lance Burton is so classy. He just wrote me a little note after it came out that said, thanks for mentioning me in the Playboy article. Sincerely, Lance. P.S. You would consider Elvis a retarded hillbilly too, wouldn't you? Boom, bang, right there. And so when I say, you know, that Elvis was a hillbilly, I'm not saying it disparagingly. I'm just saying it like I'm, you know, I'm a Yankee. He's a hillbilly. I don't know. We're back to one of the Memphis Mafia talking about his monkey. Not his monkey, Elvis's monkey.
Lamar Fikes talking about Scatters.
There was an incident I mentioned in, this is a plug for the book, Revelations of the Memphis Mafia, about when we were in Arizona, I think. There was a Mexican maid knocking on our hotel room door. She came in and started making up the room, which was quite dark at the time. Yes, it was quite dark because Elvis put tinfoil over the windows. Okay, it wasn't an accident that it was quite dark at the time. Well, Scatter was there, and he just lunged at her and latched on. Okay, what do we got here? We have got funny, sexy, a little scary. That Civet Musk.
And a Mexican.
There. And a Mexican.
Our dwarf was a Mexican.
That's true. Boy.
Maybe there's some racial component to the monkey thing.
She didn't know what had hit her, and she let out the most blood-curdling scream you've ever heard. She came running out of the room with Scatter wrapped around her like a boa constrictor. Funny, sexy, very dangerous. He jumped on her back. Yeah, and Elvis knew a lot about monkeys on the back, didn't he? She jumped on her back, put his legs around her waist, and his hands over her eyes so she couldn't see. The monkey reaches around and grabs her eyes so she can't see. It was just so damn funny. That's what he says. Not, of course, that she saw it that way. I mean, man, you know, even if Elvis weren't a fabulous singer and hadn't really invented rock and roll as we know it, it'd be such a good idea to take a guy like Elvis and just chip in and give a guy like Elvis like $20 million and just say, do whatever you want. I mean, that is
a really important thing.
Yeah, send us the stories. Just give it whatever you know. Go get your drug enforcement badge. Go out and do this. That's a really important part of being a celebrity is that you spend your money like a nut. I think that's really, you know, when you go into Roy's bedroom and you're backstage, I mean, I did go to Roy's bedroom backstage at the Siegfried and Roy show. I did. And he has this big bed in the middle. And then on the walls are like huge terrariums with like monkeys and boa constrictors and stuff in them that watch him while he's in bed. What I say? Funny, sexy, and could kill you.
A little scary.
A little scary, yeah. He was so damn funny. Not, of course, that she saw it that way. Anyway, we managed to get Scatter off her. I wish there was more about that.
Wish we got Scatter off her.
Yeah, got Scatter off her. And the next minute, he bolted and scrambled up a drain pipe onto the roof. He only came down when he saw Start to drive away in the car. You know, that's a good gig for a monkey, don't you think, being Elvis's monkey? Or is that a bad gig?
That seems like a good gig.
Being Elvis's monkey? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I guess you don't get to pick your gigs. We're going to talk about the T-Monkeys because I think they're so fascinating. And I just want to tell you there's some sad stories coming up here. It's kind of sad but kind of beautiful. Things get old. Things do die, even here on Monkey Tuesday. Here on the Big Penn Jillette Show. But we both agree, we talked about this before, that we don't want to have a monkey. Because having a monkey means cleaning up the monkey droppings. It means taking care of the monkey and possibly getting hurt by the monkey. What we want, and I don't know how much this would cost, is we want a monkey on retainer.
Yeah,
I want a guy in Vegas who has a monkey, who just has a monkey and keeps him there all the time and trains him. And I can just call him up anytime I want, anytime, night or day, and just say, bring the monkey over in the put him in a pirate outfit today.
Bring the monkey in the pirate suit. I know it's late.
He'd be over in no time. He'd be over right there.
We actually got an email about this from Stuart in Australia. He says, I am coming to Vegas in September with my wife and renewing our vows, hopefully with an Elvis doing the ceremony. All your talk of smoking monkeys made me want to have one as a witness at the ceremony. Can you hook me up?
Oh, man.
We might be able to make money if we had a monkey on call.
A monkey for weddings. A wedding monkey. Have a monkey as a witness. Monkey Witness, Monkey Witness Incorporated. Penn Jillette, that music only mean one thing. The music only mean that it is the Tuesday of monkeys. It is the Tuesday where we talk about monkeys. There's no way to... No. You don't do it when I say Tuesdays of monkeys. We'll work on this. But the next Monkey Tuesday, we're going to have this down pat. It'll be no problem at all. Now, you know, there's a yin and a yang to everything. There's a flow and an ebb. And I want to just do a little bit of a few kind of sad stories.
We're going to take it down for a sec.
Bring it down. This is kind of the unplugged Monkey Tuesday. A little slow on that. It's okay for unplugged because he's playing piano. The guitars are electric, but it's an acoustic piano. We're going to talk about the legendary snow monkeys of Texas. That comes up next. Did you find this yourself? Someone sent it in.
Someone sent this in.
It ties in a lot of the favorite themes of the Penn Jillette Show, and things, a lot of things that Penn and Godot like to talk about. It talks about monkeys, and we have a special guest star.
It is a confluence of ideas.
It's the first time that this guest star will have appeared on a Monkey Tuesday, although he's been talked about many, many other times on the show. It was January 21st, 1996, the last day of winter buck season. Missy, Lily, and Meggie, two of them nursing mothers, have been shot dead, blowed apart, quote, according to the game warden called the scene. A fourth survivor, Jason, was left with only a stump for an arm. All had been shot a few feet outside their home fence line while snacking on deer corn that had been spread as bait. At the time, many locals could have predicted this would happen, but the actual chain of events, the true story behind one of Texas's most persistent rural legends, the 1996 open season on monkeys, is a story that has steadily faded. How had monkeys come to be standing in Texas hunters' firing line? It's not a Dick Cheney story. This is a real story. The troop under fire consisted of wild but rapidly acculturating snow monkeys, more precisely known as Japanese macaws or...
Macaques.
Macaques.
Macaws a bird.
Macaws a bird.
Macaque. Yeah. Keep going. Macaque. No one will know.
Or do you want to try the Latin?
No, that's okay. Thanks. Okay. Snow monkeys.
Yeah, snow monkeys. This particular troop began as about 150 in number, previously evicted from the encroaching suburbs of Kyoto, Japan. They had been brought to South Texas Primate Observatory in 1972 in the first attempt at a relocation of the entire primate population. The observatory's ranch near Dilley in Frio County. Dilley, I guess? Yeah, sure. Dilley, I think. It was much hotter than the macaque's Japanese home, and at first many perished. But South Texas eventually provided the conditions the monkeys needed to thrive, a wild setting, water tanks, plenty of mesquite beans, cactus fruits, and lots of tail brush to climb around in. Tall brush. Tail brush to climb around in. They have that on each other, I guess. Things went very well, at least for a couple of decades. And what happens is they went very successfully for 20 years, and then a bobcat or cougar killed the troop's leader. The frightened survivors began to hang more closely around the roofs, fences, and compounds of both their own homes, and they finally got out, okay? So we have a lot of monkeys running around Texas. And then simultaneously, the U.S. Department of Agriculture began pressuring the volunteer observatory manager to improve the facility, citing violations. And then what happened in 1997, National Geographic documentary, Snow Monkeys of Texas, directed by UT professor and filmmaker Richard Lewis. There's the monkeys and that. Okay.
It's not Richard Lewis, not I don't think.
Richard Lewis, no. Okay. But what happens is the monkeys are out, they're running around, and they declare open season on monkeys in Texas. So you've got a bunch of people running around Texas shooting snow monkeys. Very, very sad. Not very funny. Here's where it gets funny. You can't shoot someone else's animals. You can't shoot a trespassing monkey. There is no monkey hunting in Texas. That's one of the big cheeses says. But here's where it gets really, really good. The martyred monkeys did not die entirely in vain. The shooting led entertainer Wayne Newton, a guest on Monkey Tuesday.
There he goes.
Let's try that again, okay. The shooting led entertainer Wayne Newton, a guest on Monkey Tuesday. So we've had in the same Monkey Tuesday show, we have had Wayne Newton and Elvis. Right? And Michael Jackson all have monkeys. Wayne Newton, as far as I know, does not have a monkey of his own. But when the chips are down, Wayne Newton comes to protect the monkeys.
He stepped up for the monkeys.
Wayne Newton came The shooting led entertainer Wayne Newton to San Antonio for a fundraiser. Other people gave cash and their time. From its small beginnings in Texas, the primate refuge movement has grown nationwide. Shortly after the shootings, the snow monkeys were able to move to a larger and more secure facility, now known as the Animal Protection Institute Primate Sanctuary, where they live to this day. Not all monkey stories are funny. This one would have been sad and tragic and miserable, except at the end, at the last second, like in all monkey stories, something comes in to make it a little bit funny. And that is Wayne Newton flies from Las Vegas, where he lives like us, to San Antonio to do a fundraiser for monkey. Donkashane, darling, Donkashane. You know, Wayne Newton.
I think the lyrics perfectly describe a date with a monkey, though, don't they?
Sure. Tore your dress, what a mess, I recall, that's not all. Donkashane. Yeah, monkeys will tear dresses all the time. More monkey news. Now, I talked a little bit last time about a group of Canadian tea monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
I said that I didn't remember properly, and I was probably making it up, but there were Canadian tea monkeys. I was very sure of the fact that these monkeys that were taught to have tea were from Canada. Okay, so they're in Auckland.
New Zealand.
Auckland's New Zealand. Pretty far away from Canada. But boy, is it the same idea. Really? Isn't it really? I mean, isn't it the same idea as Canada?
You think it's just based on the same set of principles?
Pretty much. It's like an English thing that, you know, never went to American. I don't know. Auckland Zoo's elderly Tea Party chimpanzee Bobby passed away peacefully yesterday afternoon. The 50-year-old, who was wild born in West Africa, came to Auckland Zoo with fellow chimpanzees Minnie, Josie, and Janie from Regent's Park Zoo, London, in 1956. The foursome were Auckland Zoo's first chimpanzees and featured in tea parties until these were discontinued in 1963 as attitudes to animals in captivity changed. That's one of the really sad times in our culture. It used to be that monkeys being funny was okay. And now monkeys being funny is really not supposed to be right. You're no longer supposed to laugh at animals. And maybe that's okay. You know, maybe, I mean, I'm a little bit sad about that time passing, but maybe it's okay. I don't know why it's important to treat monkeys with respect. I'm not even sure it's important to treat other people with respect, but okay. The death of Bobby leaves his companion Janie, also 50 years of age, as the last remaining Tea Party chimp. Okay? Now, a major health check 4 years ago revealed Bobby had an abnormal heart rate and had been on medication. This is all just, you know, monkey stuff. But He did pass away. But what I'm trying to get to was the stuff that I thought maybe I made up. Maybe it was a fever dream, one of these pendulette nut things that just come flowing out on Monkey Tuesday. And beautiful. Bobby had a pretty good life when the tea parties were over, and he reached a great age, says senior primate keeper Christine Tintinger, who knew Bobby for 24 years. 24 years, that's a good life for a monkey. We all knew he had a dicky heart. That must be an Auckland term. Dicky heart?
Ocky. Ocky.
An Ocky term.
It's an Ocky term.
A dicky heart. But he was active and healthy in himself. He went peacefully and quickly. You can't ask for better than that. That's the way we all want to go. That's not true, that we all want to go. I thought I wanted to die screaming in a lot of pain because you can learn more about the world that way. You know what I mean? I haven't experienced a huge amount of pain that causes you to die. I've experienced a lot of other stuff. I've experienced sleep. I've experienced peace. I've experienced joy. Not all of us want to die peacefully.
Don't you think there's some things we could skip?
Although I don't think we should make that a mandate to listeners. I want to die. I want to die painfully.
If it happens peacefully, so be it.
Yeah, exactly. The Tea Party chimps. Now, this is the part that gets weird. Remember I said that the Tea Party chimps tried to go in with other chimps?
Yeah, they were a little too sophisticated for the other chimps.
Yeah. It was clear that the Tea Party chimps would never be integrated with mother-reared chimpanzees because they talked a completely different language. I didn't even know chimpanzees talk, but they do. Chimpanzees take on human characteristics so rapidly when raised in a human environment, and because of this, they often lose their ability to be socialized properly with naturally real chimpanzees. Bobby was considered to be a founder animal because he's unrelated to any other chimpanzees in the Australian region. However, his inability to interact with naturally socialized chimpanzees meant he did not breed.
Well, that often happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, very much
inability to interact.
Yeah. It is unfortunate that he was not genetically represented. While some of his sperm was sent to Sydney University, it did not have sufficient motility to use. Now, on Monkey Tuesday, we talk about all things related to monkeys. So it's perfectly okay to talk about the motility of monkey sperm. We can talk about that. Right on Monkey Tuesday? Sure.
You want to define motility?
Motility means that the little things are squirming.
There you go.
They're a little squirming.
Nicely done.
I'm an IVF guy.
Me too.
I know. We've both been in the room.
We've had the motility test.
Yeah, we've been in the room. We've been in the room with the little cup and the pictures of women that hate me. You know, I've pointed that out before. Every woman on the wall of the room where I was supposed to give a sample for IVF hates me personally.
Yeah.
Pamela.
So what was the quote there? He didn't mate because of what reason was it?
Not naturally socialized.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
okay.
Me. Yeah. Had trouble with Elle McPherson, Pamela Anderson, and Gina Lee Nolan. All posters on the wall where I was supposed to prepare a sample. All women who have screamed in my face and ended up crying. So there you go. And then I'm back to quoting from the monkey article now. In the 1950s, chimpanzees were raised by humans and tea parties were the norm in a number of zoos. The consequence of this decision were chimpanzees that were unable to live in normal social groupings. We know that chimpanzees are social and live in multiple family communities. Hence our long plan for a decision to move our group of six younger chimpanzees to Hamilton Zoo's expansive purpose-built facility. It's a move that also enables us to concentrate on just one great ape species, the endangered orangutan, says Maria. But so the chimpanzee Janie will remain at the Auckland Zoo. And then
she's the last of the tea chimps, isn't she?
She's the last of the tea chimps. And then we have another story from April 9th, 2006, that Janie is still living strongly crotchety, socially maladjusted, as bloated as Elvis in his twilight. Janie, the last of Auckland Zoo's famous tea party chimps, cuts a sorry sight. Since the death of her life companion, Bobby, and relocation of the zoo's main chimpanzee colony in Hamilton 2004, the 52-year-old has become the only chimpanzee in Auckland. She has diabetes and other problems, but she's just sitting around.
Probably too much sugar in her tea.
Probably too much sugar in her tea. Sitting around doing wonderfully. And she's an interesting chick. She's doing great. She carries around a cell phone. She is one of the tea monkeys who were trained to have tea in the 50s for people's amusements, and is now an old showbiz person just sitting there getting old and fat and waiting to die like all the rest of us in show business. The one show business goes across cultural lines, and you know something? Another day we'll have other funny stories on Monkey Tuesday. It's Monkey Tuesday with Ben Gillette and Michael Goudeau. You'll never know when you get another one, but send in all your monkey stories to penradio.com.
Check out Penn Gillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.